did that because, like somebody's already asked me this morning, I understand, Dave, you're only doing 10 or 12 minutes today. So did you see how I did my little like introduction and got Bethan to read? Because that's not included in my 12 minutes now. So I only get 10 or 12 minutes this morning as opposed to my usual kind of 30, 32 minutes on a regular Sunday. But Christmas for a preacher is a lot more difficult than you would think. Because you'd think there'd be any amount of information that a preacher could preach about at Christmas. It's all out there, and we've read so much of it this morning. But so much of Christmas is like tied up to nostalgia, and you feel as if before you come, you know the story anyway. What can he tell us? And the trouble is, it's more tradition for us than a spiritual reality. And that is where the problem lies. And that is the case for most of us. It's what we do in the run-up to Christmas. It's what we do about the tradition of helping us to get to the point where we feel Christmassy when Christmas begins from the local church's carol service or something like that. But if I'm correct, and God has come out of heaven, amazingly, in the flesh, if Jesus really is Emmanuel, God with us, and if he lived a perfect life, and if he died to forgive us all that we ever did wrong, then everything should be different. Everything should change. And we should see things in a new light, with new vision, and even a new perspective on our lives. Because we cannot kid ourselves. I'm just singing a few of those songs there, and I'm thinking, some of these questions that the carols pose seem to be left unanswered. But are we looking in the right place to find the answers? And so I don't believe it is nostalgia, and it's not just tradition, although we do build up traditions, and some of them are actually very good. But it's a celebration for us of everything that grounds us in faith. It's a celebration of everything that we believe. And really, without the incarnation, there's not much else. I mean, obviously Easter is a big thing for Christians, and a number of celebrations are really major. But without Jesus came to be Emmanuel, God with us, we've got nothing much else at all, really. So, three things, okay? So you're working it out now. He's had 3 minutes. He's got roughly 3 minutes each for these things. People are doing it. Come on, admit it. Three things in 10 minutes. And the first thing that we get out of the text that Bethan so wonderfully read for us this morning is that when the divine meets the human, there is fear. Oh, we've got it so helpfully up there. When the divine meets the human, there is fear. We know that because just about every account of an angel visiting somebody that's written in the Bible, the angel always says first, do not fear. Why does he say that? Because everybody's terrified. Everybody is falling to the knees. And you can imagine this scene, or you can try to imagine this scene. The shepherd or shepherds are on a hillside. It's absolutely pitch black. They might have a campfire. But apart from that, I mean, we don't get to many places now, do we, where there's no unnatural light, where there's no street lights. My parents live in Southern Ireland, and they live out in the sticks a bit. And often on a night when I go to bed, I turn the light, when I'm staying there, I turn the light out, and then I get my hand and I bring it back towards my face like that. And you literally, till it hits your nose, you cannot see a thing. And even then, it's just pitch black. I know that when my hand touches my nose, it's still a long way away from my face, but you get the idea. But then these shepherds are there, it's pitch black, and the sky lights up. Very interesting. You don't get people, it seems, saying in those moments, oh, Gabriel, while you're here, tell us, what's this thing about dinosaurs? How do we square that? Or you don't get people saying, Gabriel, if God is a creator and God created everything, who made God? Nobody's bothered about those kind of questions. They're terrified. Heaven has come down and met earth. And when God turns up, I want to tell you from experience, your faith is satisfied. When God turns up, all your questions will disappear. It won't be a problem to you anymore. Because God turns up on the scene and everything changes. But I want to ask us a question this morning. Don't think I can let you get away without asking you a question. Why do you think humans are deadly, even deathly afraid of angels, of the divine? This is what I think it is, and I suspect it's this. It's because we know us. We know ourselves. We know who we are and what we're like when nobody else is around, and when nobody else can see us. We know the thoughts that go on in our minds sometimes. But when God appears on the scene, everything, it seems, is laid bare. And so for the shepherds and many others, terror comes. And so we tend to think that God is coming to punish us. And that is why the terror comes. I guess God comes out of heaven. He knows what we like. And so, except here, God's messengers show up, not with a sword, not getting ready to throw a lightning bolt at somebody for doing something wrong, but they show up with the good news. They show up with a message of joy and peace to anybody who wants to hear about it, to anybody who wants to receive it. And so, God comes to drive out fear, not to establish fear. And that's why so many people talk about it. Which leads us nicely into point two. Because people talk about these things. And we were meant for worship. In verse 10 there, could you just flash us verse 10 up, please, Ralph? And the angel said to them, fear not. There you go, there it is in writing. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. When God comes into the conversation, we often think, am I good enough? Fear is a terrible thing. Fear gnaws away at us. And I suspect that for many people, even sat here this morning in these peaceful, calm surroundings, surrounded by friends and loved ones and stuff like that, many of you will have come in with fears. And when God comes into the conversation, we think, am I good enough? Am I worthy enough? And in any relationship, whether it's with God or anybody else, we think, am I worthy of this love? I don't know whether any of you have ever even thought that about your friends and family. It's funny, we were just sat having a coffee this morning just across the road, and this guy just shouted across from a chair about as far away as from me to Chris. He said, are you going to propose to her? I said, you're about 36 years too late, mate. And by that, he walked across and started to pour out his life to us, honestly. And I invited him. He hadn't come, has he? And he started telling us how he was married for 35 years. And he said, I don't know why I got married. He said, I don't think either of us were really in love. And then he said, I met this other woman, and for 10 years, it was wonderful. And then disaster struck, and it all came to an end. And he was relating some of this stuff here. You know, what's it all about? What is this about? And I believe that it tells us in this text here that the angels, we just think, all right, angels showed up and they shouted a few things out and people were terrified and la-di-da. The angels got the order of worship absolutely right. If we stop for a minute just to think about it, it is so true and so important. Glory to God on the highest, in the highest, and then on earth peace. I want to tell you this, very, very important. If you take anything away, try and remember this. The key to this story is not to separate what the angels kept together. Don't separate it. What that means is that peace, real peace, lasting peace, I suggest, cannot be separated from God. Let me just try and explain myself in the 3 or 4 minutes. How long have I got, Clive? 3 or 4 minutes that I've got left. At some point after Christmas dinner, okay, it may be days, it could be hours, you're going to feel disappointed. Even if you got the present that you wanted, you're going to be thinking, all that for 2 days. All that for a Christmas dinner. Those kind of things you're going to be thinking. Even if you get the present that you want. Is that what all the fuss were about? Huh? You're even thinking now of the people who are going to come to your house who are going to say that. And I believe that this account, this stuff that we've read here out of the Bible, which is for us, is an echo of a greater reality. And that is that the things that we set our heart on, the things that we hope in, if God is not a priority, everything else comes up short. I've tried it. Well, I want to tell you, if you've got God first, this may seem like ridiculous to some of you and say, Dave, shut up and get on with it. But listen, honestly, if you can catch this, if you can put God first, everything will change. I believe that. It's been true for me. I've got a fantastic wife. She's absolutely wonderful. She's amazing. But I want to tell you, if I make her more than God, she's going to come up short. It's impossible. We need to get things in their perspective. And the angels said, don't separate the things that God has put in place. Okay, and thirdly, lastly, this is the shortest one, so I might just about be able to make it. Love flows in and replaces wrath, and joy floods in and replaces shame. I don't know about you, but at 18, I've been a Christian now since I was about 20, but at 18, not knowing God, I knew that there were some things I'd done in my life that I absolutely wished I could take back. And unless you know God, there's no hope for that kind of stuff. And I didn't know God. I'd never been to church. I didn't know any Christians. I didn't know that if I put my trust in God, if I put my faith in God, then forgiveness for those things could come, and peace, which is only found in God, could flood into my life. And it changes everything. And so I've got back to where we started off. In God's kingdom, everything is turned upside down. The good news comes to the ordinary person, even the non-religious person, who we might think is undeserving of God's love. You may be terrified if an angel turned up because you think, I haven't done anything to deserve God's love. And now there's an angel stood before me, and that's why they're terrified. I want to tell you, God doesn't put those things on. You don't have to get better to be acceptable to God. He accepts you exactly where you are. And God drives out, I believe, life's questions with good news. We all ask these things. Am I good enough? Am I lovable? And I want to say, we must be. I must be. Because God so loved the world that he sent Emmanuel, God with us. And that is why it is so very important not just to take this like a tradition, but to actually give it some consideration. It could change everything. That's it. Whoa.